So I need to be able to hear. So Jonah chapter 2 is where we're going to be tonight. I don't know if you've seen the movie Apollo 13. I love that movie. The drama and just the intense nature of that film. But in that movie, we learn about Jim Lovell and Jack Swigert and Fred Hayes, three astronauts that were on a mission to go to the moon. Of course, I don't want to ruin the movie for anyone if you haven't seen it, but it's been out for a long time. So if you haven't seen it by this point, then sorry, I'm just going to ruin it for you. But in that movie, they were heading to, in the real life too, but the movie depicts this story of them going on a mission to the moon, but that mission is thwarted because of technical issues there on the spacecraft that they were in. And so the movie ends up being about, where you find the drama in it, is whether these three astronauts are going to be able to return home to Earth. And so as you're kind of on the edge of your seat, as you wonder, are they going to be able to make it? It seems like at this point they are, it's against all odds that they are going to be able to survive this mission that has now gone from getting to the moon to getting back to the Earth. They are in a precarious position. Some of you at one time or another may have been in a precarious position, a time of difficulty, a time that you didn't know what the future was going to look like. All of us, maybe in one way or another, have been in a precarious position. Of course, it may not have been to the level that these three astronauts were in the movie Apollo 13, or in real life too. But one thing that we know about these precarious kind of positions, as maybe our lives flash before our eyes, is oftentimes they become places of reflection. We think during these times. We are reminded of what's most important in our lives in these times. And you even see some of that as this drama unfolds in Apollo 13. Family, friends, mission, purpose, all of these kind of things come up as these three men have their lives flash before their eyes. We're going to read about a precarious position that Jonah found himself in. And we're going to look through Jonah chapter 2. Then, at the end of our time tonight, we're going to make some observations about what Jonah learned from his precarious position. So that's the direction that we're going to move this evening. In chapter 1, what we talked about last week, Jonah was called by the Lord to go to Nineveh. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. As a matter of fact, he went the exact opposite direction of Nineveh and headed toward Tarshish. But while he was on the sea in this ship, God sent a storm that put the sailors in a precarious position. They found out that it was Jonah that was responsible for the storm. And so they asked Jonah, what are we going to do with you? And Jonah says, throw me off the ship. That's going to be the way that you are going to be protected, that you're going to survive. The sailors listened to Jonah, but not first. The first they tried to row to shore because they didn't want to be responsible for killing Jonah. But since they weren't able to make it, they throw Jonah off the ship. And Jonah finds himself in this sea. But at the end of chapter 1, we read that Jonah was swallowed by a huge fish. And that brings us to our text for tonight. Jonah is now in the belly of a huge fish. And this is what we read in Jonah chapter 2. I'm going to read the entire prayer. Then we're going to look at it verse by verse. Jonah chapter 2, starting in verse 1. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God. He said, in my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed has wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. That's Jonah chapter 2. Last week we talked about Jonah's descent. He went down to Joppa. He went down into the boat. And then he went down into the sea. Now he has gone down into the belly of a fish. Verse 2 again. Jonah in his prayer says, in my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead I called for help, and you listened to my cry. Jonah finds himself in the deep realm of the dead. The word there, and some of your translations might include this word, is the word Sheol. Sheol, according to Numbers chapter 16, verses 30 through 33, was located actually under the earth. In Job chapter 17 and verse 16, it says that Sheol has bars to prevent people from escaping this place. Jonah, at this point, is experiencing Sheol. He has gone to that level of lowness, if we could use that as a word. Jonah is recognizing how deep he has fallen. He's gone to Sheol. But in that dark, deep place, he calls for help. And he acknowledges that God has listened to him. And so he is praying to God, recognizing that God will still listen to him. Verse 3, he continues, you hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. It's interesting that Jonah says that God hurled him into the depths. If we remember from chapter 1, it doesn't seem that it was God that hurled Jonah into the depths of the sea, but that was actually Jonah's choice to do that. So we need to ask ourselves, wasn't that Jonah's choice? As Jonah is reflecting on this experience, he is putting the responsibility on God. Of course, it was God who sent the storm that led to Jonah being in the depths of the sea. Maybe that's what Jonah means by that. But Jonah cries out to God and says, it was God who hurled me into the depths of the sea. And Jonah emphasizes how terrible of a situation that was for him. It wasn't as if he just sank down into the water, but as he reflects on this situation, it's as if waves were crashing over him. Talk about a precarious position even before he finds himself in the belly of the fish. Verse 4, I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. Again, it's interesting that Jonah says, I have been banished from your sight. It seems like Jonah was trying to flee God's sight. And so, is Jonah turning this and putting the responsibility on God when it really was his responsibility? Maybe that's the case. But even so, he's doing it in the context of prayer. And that's very important. It might be that Jonah is experiencing some transformation here, but we still see the topsy-turvy nature of Jonah. We see his heart in this prayer. Jonah states in verse 4 that he will again look toward God's holy temple. His perspective here is a faithful one. He desires to see God again. He desires to dwell in the presence of God. Is there a heart change going on with Jonah right now? If he is in the belly of the fish, it's possible that that may be the case. Verse 5 again. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed has wrapped around my head. Again, Jonah talked about the terrifying situation that he found himself in. Verse 6. To the roots of the mountain I sank down. Again, Jonah going down, down, down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. Jonah again makes a faithful proclamation here. He recognizes that it's God that is going to be the deliverer for him. God is the one that is providing salvation for him. It's interesting, too, that Jonah is already talking about the deliverance of God, but yet Jonah is still in the belly of the fish. What's going on with that? Is this just rock-solid assurance and confidence that God will provide for him? Possibly that's what's taking place. Verse 7, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Jonah reminds God that he has remembered him. And so even though Jonah is still descending physically, his prayers are ascending. And so there might be this physical downward descent, but there is, it seems like in this prayer that there's a spiritual ascent. Prayers are going up towards God. Jonah, again, is experiencing a change here. Transformation is taking place. Verse 8, those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. Okay, this is really interesting. As Jonah is in the belly of a fish, he's reflecting on idol worship. What is that all about? We've talked quite a bit about idol worship. We talked about it in the sermon last Sunday. I know that Witt is doing a study of idol worship right now that's covering the book Gods at War by Kyle Eidelman. What's going on with this? It's a little bit ironic. If you remember those sailors on the boats, they worshipped other gods. Yet it was those people that showed actually more faith than Jonah did. They were the ones that offered sacrifices. They are the ones that made vows to God. It wasn't Jonah, the one that was the Hebrew, the worshiper of the Creator God, who was looking faithful. It was these sailors. So what's going on here? Could it be, again, I'm just asking the question, could it be, again, as Jonah is in the belly of this fish, in this precarious position, he's reflecting on the most important things in life. And so this belly is providing a place for Jonah to reflect on the majesty and greatness of God. And as he does that, he's reminded that idol worship is a terrible thing, a terrible sin against God. That might be what's taking place. Verse 9. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. Jonah claims that he will praise God and offer sacrifices to him. He promises that he will preach the message of God. He will say that salvation comes from the God. Again, Jonah recognizes that it is God who is his deliverer. It's through God's power and God's grace that Jonah is going to be able to see the light of day again. We see great confidence in this. Jonah recognizes that it's God who is going to provide for him. And of course, verse 10, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. It was God who provided the fish to swallow Jonah so that he could be saved. And it's now God who is forcing the huge fish to vomit Jonah out so that he can see the light of day again. So that he can continue on in accomplishing the purposes of God. God is in control of this story from the beginning of chapter 1, as we'll see, all the way to the end of chapter 4. Like I said, I'd like for us to make a few observations now about what Jonah realized when he was in the belly of the fish. And I think as we reflect on what Jonah perhaps realized when he was in the belly of the fish, we can we can use these realizations to help our own lives as well. The first thing that we see in this prayer is Jonah realized that you can't flee from the presence of God. Verse 2 again, it says, "In my distress I called to the Lord, and He answered me." So even in the darkest, lowest place in the world, Sheol, Jonah says, even in that place, God heard him. God rescued him. God cared for him. Verse 2 again, he says, "God has listened to my cry." So no matter where Jonah was, God was there listening to him and providing for him. Verse 6, the end of verse 6, he says, "You, God, brought me up from the pit." God couldn't bring Jonah up from the pit unless God had gone down to the pit with Jonah. God was there with him. I love Psalm 139, verses 7 through 12. Listen to this passage. Psalm 139, 7 through 12. And just remember that this is the God that we serve and worship. Psalm 137. I'm sorry, Psalm 139, 7 through 12. The psalmist writes, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, 'Surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me,' even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you." Jonah thinks that he is in the darkest, deepest place in the world, yet he cries out to God, and he says, "God, you will provide for me. You care for me. You love for me." Jonah realized that you can't flee the presence of God. Jonah, as he reflects on that, he shows that great confidence that we've already mentioned. Jonah says in verse 4, "I will look again on your holy temple. I will worship you with the saints." And then at the end of verse 9, he says, "I will preach to the people. Salvation comes from the Lord." Jonah shows great confidence here. I think the second thing that Jonah realized in the fish is that God is not only present with him, but God is also his deliverer. God, at his core, is a deliverer. We think about the story of the Exodus. When the Israelites were in Egyptian bondage, it was God who brought them out of slavery, delivering them from that place, leading them to the promised land, providing deliverance. When they were moving into that promised land, there were armies there. It was God who delivered them from all of those militaries, bringing about the potential of living in that new land. The lepers that we read about in the Gospels, it was through Jesus' activity, or God working through Jesus, that they were delivered from that disease. The blind were given their sight. They were delivered from their blindness. And of course, all of us have been delivered of sin and death by the power of God at work through Jesus Christ. That's the message of Romans chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. God at his core is a deliverer. Romans 5, verses 9 and 10. I'd like to read this passage. Paul writes there, "Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." God's deliverance means hope and salvation for us. The third thing that Jonah learns in that belly of the fish is that you can pray anytime, anywhere. If you're in the belly of the fish, you can pray. If you're in the belly of your car, you can pray. If you're in the belly of your cubicle, you can pray. If you are in the belly of hurt, you can pray. If you're in the belly of grief, you can pray. You can pray anytime, anywhere. And the promise is that God will hear us and He'll answer our cry. One of my friends told us about a time that she was praying in her office. I love this story. So she is just praying. It's kind of a slow time. She, as part of her job, she has to answer phones for customers that are calling in with different questions. And so she was just taking this kind of slow time in her day to pray. And so the phone rang, and she was in the middle of a prayer. She picked up the phone, and instead of saying hello, she said, "In Jesus' name, amen." And then she recognized what she did and just slammed down the phone as fast as she can. But no matter our situation, we can pray anytime, anywhere. And those times that Jonah had done some pretty awful things up to this point. He was striving to flee from God. He had found himself in this dark place, but in that time, he chose to pray. No matter our situation, no matter how much we've messed up, we can pray and God will listen to us. The fourth thing I think that Jonah learns, and I think this might be the most important thing, so if we're going to take, I guess, a point or an idea home with us, I would hope it would be this one. That challenging circumstances are great times for transformation. Challenging circumstances are great times for transformation. So we hear different phrases in our life. He or she has cancer. You're fired. You need to move. I'm done. It's over. I hate you. These kind of phrases that just break us inside. But I think those times, those belly kind of situations, can be incredible times for transformation. We see Jonah in chapter 1 fleeing from God, and in Jonah chapter 2, he's crying out to the Lord, seeking God's deliverance. There's a poem that I love. I won't take the time to read it this evening, but it's called, one of the sort of the refrain that's in it is, "In the valleys, it's in the valleys that I grow." It's maybe a poem that some of you are aware of. It's in the valleys that I grow. It's in those challenging circumstances that we are able to grow. It's as if in those difficult times, God, as the sort of master artist, is chiseling away that sin in our lives, making us more complete, more His, more beautiful in His sight. I believe as we read Jonah's prayer and reflect on his crying out to the Lord, we see someone who is experiencing a transformation in a very dark place in his life. We see that in that he says he's going to preach. We see that he's praying. We see that he claims that he's going to make sacrifices and vows to the Lord once again. It's in the valleys that we grow. Those precarious positions, those difficult places, can be those exact opportunities when God is wanting to teach us something about His way, about what He wants to do in our lives. So it's our hope that we can be open to the work of God in our lives. Mark's going to lead us in a song. If there's anybody here tonight that is ready to put the Lord on in baptism, we'd love to witness you do that this evening. If there's anybody here that needs the prayers of this church family, whatever need that you have, you can come forward now as we stand and sing.